this morning. God is a good and awesome God, and He loves us, cares for us unconditionally, and today we're going to get a little deeper into receiving of that love and just letting Him love on us the way that I know that He wants to. And we're going to talk a message just for a title. I called it How to Live Like a Believer 4, because it's the fourth one in the series. We've got a few more. I want to be able to keep going on it. We'll get deeper into prayer and some other things that are part of the believer's life next week. But today I want to look at Live Like a Believer 4, and if I had a subtitle, I would call it Faith Part B. Okay, because last week we talked about faith. So let's see if we can get a little deeper in it. So Father God, before we go too far, I want to just reach out to You, Father. You're a good and awesome God. Father, I thank You for loving on us. I thank You for revealing Yourself to us through Your Word and showing us things today that we've never seen before. And I pray that it just takes us so deep into You, Lord, that we will never be the same, that we'll understand of what You have provided for us, and we'll just openly receive of that and to live the life of a believer, living by faith and walking by faith. And we praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So living like a believer. Okay, living like a believer, you're going to live by faith, right? We talked about that a little bit last week, that we're saved by faith. Okay, you can't even start your relationship with God unless you walk by faith. Okay, there's something there that needs to be opened. When you live by faith, then you want to walk by faith, right? And it should go hand in hand. A believer is somebody that lives their life in a way that expresses that they not only believe in God, okay, but they actually believe God, okay? And that's where, I've shared this story before, but I was witnessing to this gal in Rapid City when I lived there, and I would always make comments like, well, God said this, and you know, God showed me this, and God showed me that, and it just boggled her mind that how could you believe not just in God, because she said she believed in God, but I said, I believe God when He speaks to me. And I began to point to His Word and say, well, look what He says to us. Look what He said to me. And show her scriptures or whatever. And that was part of that, is that we've gotten past that point where we just believe in God, but we're actually taking God at His Word. We're believing that what He says goes. Okay, in Hebrews 11:6 says that by faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God, okay, there's the key for you, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, okay, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we come to God believing that God is, okay, so it's more than just believing in him, but it's coming to him because we believe that he is who he says he is. Okay, God's word is powerful, it is unmovable. Okay, it is unchanging. His word is literally unstoppable. Okay, in other words, what God says goes. Okay, in fact, why don't we say that? Can you guys just say this? Say, what God says goes. Okay, because that's the theme for this morning. You'll hear it several times, because the believers, as they lived out their life, they came to the point where they say, God said it, what God says goes. Okay, and they're just going to stick with that. Hebrews 55:11 says, God himself is saying, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. In other words, God's word is unmovable, unchanging, and unstoppable. It is going to accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. Okay, by faith is how we understand that God and his word is the final authority on everything. God's word supersedes all else. His power and greatness is written right into it. Without the word of God, the world that we live in doesn't exist. Okay? Without the word of God, our universe as we know it and the galaxies and everything beyond, even you and I, don't exist. Okay? Remember, God spoke in the beginning, let there be light. And his word was fulfilled. The Holy Spirit was right there waiting to put these things into motion. Okay, we would not even exist without him. And it's then by faith and by trust and by a confidence in the power and the wisdom and the goodness of God, that's how we know deep down in our hearts that this whole world, this universe, you and I, were formed and put in order, equipped for an intended purpose by the Word of God. Okay, by faith is how we know that. It gets deep down inside that we know We believe in something we haven't yet always seen, but we're believing anyway. It is by faith that we understand that. Okay, the believer knows that there is no God besides our God, right? He is the ultimate. There is no God beside Him. And then every ounce of faith, every bit of our trust and our hope is all in Him. Okay, we've gotten to the point where we don't trust just in ourselves anymore. We don't trust in our bank account anymore. Okay, we don't trust in our employer anymore to be our sole provider. Okay, not even our family, we have learned, can save us. Okay, our family is not the one that will heal us. Our family and friends are not the ones that will ensure that we are provided for, but God is. Okay, God can do all those things, and He does do all those things. Okay, to live like a believer means that we will live by faith. Okay, and if we live by faith, what happens when we do that? What happens when we live according to 2 Corinthians 5:7? Okay, He said, we shall walk by faith, not by sight. Okay, what happens when we do that? What does it actually look like? What is accomplished in our life when we begin to walk by faith? Well, for starters, Christ dwells in your hearts by faith. Okay, and then from that faith, you're able to understand the great love that God has for you. And from that, you're able to receive and to walk in the fullness of God. Okay, because walking in by faith means that we're trusting and receiving of the goodness of God. It means His grace is for me. Okay, God's riches at Christ's expense. What Jesus paid for, I am now receiving by faith. Okay, and we're going to unlock some of that by our faith. Let me show you this in the scriptures. The Apostle Paul is encouraging his fellow believers, and he says this to them in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. He said, "For this cause I literally bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, so that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith." Okay, so that being then rooted and grounded in love, then you may be able to comprehend with all the other believers and saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, so that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. In other words, it's by faith and receiving of the goodness of God, receiving His love by faith, that we actually receive and walk in the fullness of God. You know, I didn't pull the scripture up this week, but you remember Hebrews 11:1 says that now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Okay, it means that by faith that we are actually seeing the evidence, or it is the evidence, of the things that we haven't seen with our natural eyes yet. Okay, things that we're hoping for. Okay, hope is huge with God, if you haven't figured that out. Hope and faith go hand in hand. They go right along with trust and confidence. Okay, where we're all in it together with God, holding on and believing for the things that we haven't yet seen. Okay, faith is what unlocks all that God has given you. Okay, did He do anything through Jesus? Okay. He did everything through Jesus. For us, as a believer, He did everything. Okay, we wouldn't be here if He didn't do Jesus. Okay, and so what we have by a faith in the completed works of Jesus, in understanding that Jesus went to the cross, paid the penalty for all of our sin, washed us clean, put us in right standing with God, okay, made us righteous in Jesus, all that gives us something. Because what Jesus came for wasn't just to open a door to heaven. It was for this life that we live on the way to heaven as well. Okay, and by faith we unlock everything that He has given us through Jesus. Okay, so I want to look, I said last week I wanted to look at what I call the Hall of Faith. Okay, in Hebrews chapter 11. It's kind of the place where it goes through and it says, by faith, this guy did this. By faith, these guys understood this. By faith, by faith, by faith. And so I call it the Hall of Faith. Okay. And if we look at that, we're going to see some of what God has sent your way through Jesus. Okay, we'll see what you can receive by faith. Let's start with Noah, Hebrews 11:7. It says, by faith, okay, get that in your head. By faith, Noah, being warned by God of things not seen as yet, he was moved with fear or reverence, and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Okay, it was actually, you can look at that in some ways, I won't go into the whole thing, but a type of Jesus. Because by faith, Noah lived out his life and said, you know, I'm going to do this and it's going to save him and the ones that got in the boat with him, just like Jesus saved us and those that got in the boat with Jesus, right? And so there's a little example for us, okay? But God's expectation, if you notice what it said for Noah, he became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith, okay? Not of works, but of faith. Okay, it is by faith that Noah was deemed righteous in God's eyes. Your righteousness is one of the things that you have received by faith. Are you clean enough to go to heaven? By faith, yes. Yes, because you have believed in the completed works of Jesus Christ. The Bible says we are washed clean by His blood. Okay? His blood's not being shed more and more and more today. It's already been done. It's a past event. And you're believing and trusting in what He did was enough for you. Okay, that is believing by faith in the completed works of Jesus Christ. Okay, God's expectation for righteousness, what it took to be right with Him, was established long before the laws of Moses ever came into play. Okay, Noah was before Moses, right? You guys remember your chronological order of the Bible. Okay, Noah came first. Noah trusted God. He revered, it said that moved with that reverence or that fear of God, his relationship with God caused him to build an ark because that's what God had said to do. Okay, God said, build an ark. And Noah said, what God says goes. We need to build an ark. And he got busy doing it and spent, what, 100 and some years building an ark. Okay, by faith and patience, he inherited the promises. Okay, but he didn't question it. Noah didn't question and say, you know what? I don't know how to build an ark. He didn't stop and think, you know what? I've never done anything like this before. Okay? Or I don't know the right people to help me with something like this. Okay? He didn't say, you know what, I don't have the resources. Those trees are, you know, miles and miles away. I don't even have a pair of ponies to go get them with. He didn't argue, he didn't complain. He didn't come up with excuses on why he couldn't do it. He simply said, what God says goes, we need to build an ark. And so he took God at his word to him. Okay, because God came to him and said, no, you need to build an ark, I'm going to flood the earth. Okay, kind of, you need to get prepared. Okay, and so all he knew was that God had said that, and so he took him at his word and went to work. Some of you are still waiting for God to give you what you need before you'll get to work, okay? And that's something that I know we want to avoid works and works-based mentality where we're performing for God, and this isn't like that. This is when God has given you a direction. He's shown you what to do, told you what to do, gave it in your word, gave it from a word, gave it from me, however you get it from God, okay? And God spoke something into your heart, and now you're still waiting for Him to show you all the steps and tell you what needs to be done next and all these things. And yet, God's word was, you need to do this. Okay, and you need to step out. Okay, God has already given you something, and He's simply waiting for you to believe by faith that He gave it to you. Okay, and to step out and actually do that. Andrew Womack has a Bible college down in outside Colorado Springs, Woodland Park. And one of the quotes that I saw of him earlier this week, he said, the way to get ahead in the carnal mind is to work harder. But Jesus said, come to me and rest. There is a place in Christ where all we do is simply rest in response to what He has already done for us. This is in stark contrast to us laboring in order to get God to move. Okay, now here's a, you know, and I love faith people and word of faith and walking by faith and all this, but sometimes we can get into a performance-based mentality with our faith stuff that if I just had more faith, I could get God to move. Okay, if I just prayed harder, if I just prayed longer, if I just read my Bible more, if I just did these, then God would move. Okay? And that is us laboring, striving to get God to move on our behalf. Okay? But if we believe in the completed works of Jesus Christ, what He's already done, and enter into that rest. The Bible does say to labor, right? But He says to labor to enter into the rest. Okay? That means trusting in what God already did through Jesus and saying, that was sufficient for me. I don't need to work and do and earn and strive and struggle. God already wants to bless me. God already did bless me through Jesus Christ. If you're trying to receive God's grace again, okay, then you didn't receive it the first time. Because God's grace is sufficient. Okay? When you say, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, I give you my life, I lay it down, I'm washed clean. When you do that, you receive God's riches at Christ's expense right then and there. God says, you've done what I said to do, which is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you would be saved. Okay? And so the goodness of God begins at that moment being poured out into your life in abundance. Okay? And by faith, we appropriate that. By faith, we say, I believe what Jesus did for me. I'm going to take that into my life and accept it, receive it, and have that as part of who I am. Okay? And that's how we begin to then live and walk by faith. Okay? We're trusting in God. Okay? You enter into that place and enter in and live in that peaceful place of rest by faith in what He's already done and what He's already given to you. Okay, I'm going to give you another example out of Hebrews, but Abraham is another great example. We talked about Noah. Abraham is a faith walker, okay, known as the father of faith. He was a guy that did it, again, before the laws of Moses, he was walking by faith. Okay, he knew that he had this relationship with God, and he wanted to just live it out, that I'm in a close relationship with my Savior, with God, and I'm going to live out my life in that way. Okay, he was this example for us. He was called, if you remember, to righteousness, named and called righteous, not because he kept the laws of Moses, but because he was simply faithful to God. Okay, God had spoken to him a word. Okay, and if you remember, God had told him that he was supposed to be the father of many nations. Okay, that he was going to be the father of many nations. That's what God's word to Abraham was. Okay, Abraham didn't have the children and the offspring to be the father of many nations. And so God began this thing that, brother, you're going to have to walk by faith. Okay, you're going to have to trust me because you don't see it with your natural eyes yet, but God was saying it's going to happen. So he took God at his word and started to believe by faith in something he had not seen with his natural eyes. I want to show you this in Romans, and then we'll get into the Hebrews part. Romans 4:18. Talking of Abraham, he said, who against hope believed in hope, so that he might be the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Because remember what God said to Abraham? He said, so shall thy seed be. It's going to be like the sands of the sea. It's going to be like the stars in the heaven. Okay, that's a lot of offspring God was talking about for Abraham. And he said that's the word that God had given to him was, so shall thy seed be. Okay, so Abraham, verse 19, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, which was now basically too old or dead, when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, for she was old too. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving the glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, again, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. God says, by faith, you are right in my eyes. Okay? If God has spoken a word to you, if God has said something to you, and I'll hold up my Bible as an example. If God has spoken something to you like, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. If God has spoken something to you and said, you know what, I am thy shield and thy buckler. I am thy protector. Okay, under the shadow of his wings, we know that we have protection. If God has spoken that kind of a word to you and at me, then why do we still fret about every little thing that comes up in life? Because we know that God's word is the final authority. God's word says, He is my shield and my buckler. God's word says, under the shadow of His wings, I find that protection and rest. He is my strong tower. Okay? He is my everything. He is the one that makes it so that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. He is the one that causes those tongues that reach out against me and turns it back on themselves. God is the one that does these things. He is the avenger of all such, the Bible said. So if we know that, why do we have to fret? Why do we fret about the little things that come up in life? God knows what's going on in your life. Okay, God hasn't missed a click. He knows exactly what's happening. Okay, He's able and well able to take care of it. So we have to receive His love, okay, receive His protection, receive His health, receive His provision by faith. Because He did what He needed to do through Jesus to say, this is your blessing. This is your present. This is your gift. Okay? He sent Jesus to conquer the devil. Did Jesus do a good job? Jesus did the ultimate job. He did what no human had ever done before. He lived it out perfectly, conquered the devil, kicked him in the teeth, locked him in hell, and said, I win. Okay, Jesus got to the cross and He says, it is finished. I've done enough. I've done all that my Father sent me to do. So Jesus was sent by God to conquer the devil and to give you all of His goodness, all of His love, and all of His grace. Okay, all of His favor. Okay, the Bible says that it's God's promise to you and I that it is, Jesus said, the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Okay, God wanted to be able to do all that by faith in Jesus that opened that up. It made it possible for you to receive all that God wanted to give you. Okay, now God didn't tell Abraham that you're going to need to see it in the natural before you'll know it's real. You know, God didn't tell Abraham that you're going to see the baby and then you'll know I wasn't kidding. He didn't tell him that you're going to see it with your natural eyes. Abraham was not able to walk by sight. He had to walk by faith to appropriate, by faith to receive, by faith to keep him in that position with God that he was able to do what he wanted to do in his life. Abraham and Sarah were far too old to be having children. It was past the natural childbearing age. Okay, but God said it, so that is all that he had to know. Because what God says goes. Okay, that's what he needed to know. Hebrews 11:8, we can see this about Abraham. Again, it says that by faith, Abraham, again, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and went out not knowing where he was going. Okay, he trusted God because God said go, and what God says goes. Okay, he knew that he was supposed to do it. Some of you get anxious when you don't see that manifestation right away in the natural. Okay, something that you prayed for, something you've been hoping for, something that's down inside, you haven't seen it yet, and you begin to get anxious, and when's it going to happen? And, you know, I prayed for this, and I just don't see it with my natural eyes. Okay, to live like a believer, it means that you're going to walk without always knowing what the next step is. It means you're going to walk without knowing where things are coming from or where you're going. Okay, even to not know where your next meal comes from. I'm not saying to always live that way, but at times, okay, you will understand what that means to live by faith. Some of you are waiting for God to sort of lay it all out in front of you and tell you that this is the way it is and this is what's going to happen next and then this and then this and then this. And then you're waiting for Him to hold your hand while you take your little baby steps, still not trusting that He's real and that He's doing what He said He would do. And you're not walking by faith. Okay? By faith you pray because you believe that God is. You go to Him. You pray. You listen. And you begin to go forward. Okay? Because God is moving all the time. He's not sleeping. He didn't stop. He's not worn out. He's not tired of dealing with what's going on in your life. He wants to move forward with you. And that's exactly what He's going to do. Okay? By faith, you pray, you listen, and then you step out even knowing, not knowing where, exactly where you're going. Okay? God knows how to speak to you when you're listening. If you remember that word in Jeremiah, he gave to you, Jeremiah 29, he said that he knows the plans that he has for you. Okay, that's enough. He knows the plans that he has for you, whether you know it or not. Okay, he knows that plan. So you're going to need to trust him. Because if you know anything about God, know this. He wants to bring glory to his name through you. Okay, not shame, not, you know, old torment, oh, I'm going to watch me trash their life and then maybe they can dig their way out. Okay, and then maybe I'll get some glory. God wants to give glory to his name all the time through your life. Okay? He wants to do what he can do in and through your life, and people will look at you and say, wow, God is at work in your life. Okay? That's trusting his lead. Okay? That's trusting that God's got it figured out. Okay? God, again, told Abraham to do something that was so far out of the way that even Abraham struggled a little bit, but he didn't. He just went forward and did it. And that's when he told him to take his son Isaac up on a mountain. Okay, he told him to take his only son, that God was going to bless him and his seed and cause him to be the father of many nations through this son. And he tells him to take him up on a mountain and to sacrifice him unto him. Okay, now this was the son that God said that of you shall be many nations. Well, he gave him this precious son to have many offspring. Okay. But Abraham figured if God told him to do it, then God must have a plan. He even went so far to say, you know what? God must be going to raise him from the dead or something. I don't know how it's going to work, but God said, do this, and what God says goes. And so he stepped forward with it. Hebrews 11:17 says, by faith, how did he do it? By faith. Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence he did in a figure. Okay, he figured that God must be going to do it. He must be going to raise him up because God said this son is the way he was going to bless. And now God's saying to take him up and sacrifice. God must be going to raise him from the dead and do some kind of miracle. All he knew was that God said, and that was enough for him. You know, in the natural, what God had said to do for him was the complete opposite of what he thought in the natural needed to be done. He thought maybe Isaac should be raised up and kind of pampered and, you know, raised and to be able to have all these offspring and maybe bring in all the wives and all this stuff and be able to populate and do all these things. Because he knew that if Isaac was killed, that the seed that was supposed to spread was not going to be spreading. Okay? But he knew that God had said, do this, and so he did it. Last example, I need to wrap this up. Moses, living by faith. Okay? Moses had the opportunity to live a different life. He had the opportunity to live as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Okay, let's read this. Hebrews 11:24. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, he got old enough, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin even for a season. Moses could have lived like a king. Okay, he could have enjoyed all the pleasures of being one of Pharaoh's top hands. Okay, a big dog in the kingdom. But because of his faith, he was able to see that that was not where God wanted him to be. Okay, by faith, I'm sure that his flesh would have enjoyed all the benefits of being the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Imagine the life he could have lived compared to what he ended up living. But he chose not to walk according to the flesh and according to what his flesh wanted, but he chose to walk by faith. Okay, make a note of this. Living like a believer means that at times you are going to have to say no to your flesh. Okay, there's a whole message on that in a couple weeks, I think. But the reality is you have to say no to your flesh. The human appetites, your animal appetites, that kind of stuff, is it is it will lead you down a path that is not healthy for you. And at times, even in this example, he had this great thing. Think of what he could have lived out and all the favor and stuff upon his life. Even then, he knew that was the flesh. The Spirit of God is leading me, and by faith I will follow him. Okay, walking by faith means that you will go with God no matter how much the flesh wants to go against God. Okay, I tell you that my family and I right now are walking by faith. Okay, when it comes to the financial provision, income, as far as me and my family, against much squawking of my flesh, okay, and against much resistance of my flesh, we continue to live by faith. Okay, I asked a brother at this conference that he was a church planter, and I said, "Where have you been?" He named all these different places. He had started preaching. He was in his upper 60s, and he had preached in his first sermon from the pulpit when he was 6 years old. He said they stacked three crates together to get it up high enough so that he could reach the microphone, and he preached his first sermon at 6 years old. And he had newspaper articles and things where they had taken pictures and they had interviewed him, and he had two different reporters got picked up on it over the years, and they had his story on it. Well, I asked him about, I said, "Are you bivocational?" He said, "Not once." He said, "I first preached my first sermon when I was 6 years old, and I've been living by faith ever since." And I'll tell you, that encouraged me again that, you know what? It's the way to be. It is, it's where it's at. Okay. Now that, in over the years, I've had some pretty good jobs. Even 15, 20 years ago, Margie and I worked for the same company, and I got hired on the spot, whatever, $21 an hour or something. And back then, that was a lot, 20 years ago. Margie, they hired, I think, real close to that in salary. And so between the two of us, we were, $60,000, $70,000 a year or something. And at that time, our rent was like $700 or something. I mean, it felt like, man, this is really a blessing. Okay, and so we lived that way, and we sewed in. We helped the church and those kind of things. We had a pretty good income. In real estate, I got into real estate, and after I got rolling a little bit, I remember one month bringing in, I think it was $14,000 in one month, and I didn't even know what I was doing, okay? And that was just the beginning, just getting started, just starting to get my name out. Things started kind of clicking, and that one month was this massive amount, and it had potential to do that every month. You guys know realtors, they don't drive junky cars and live in little shacks usually, okay? There's a lot of wealth to be made in that. Okay, when I got in with a corporate company, UPS, and started getting all the insurance and the benefits and the salary and all that stuff, pushing six figures real easily without, it took some effort. It took work and putting that out there. But even then, we ended up living pretty well. And I'll tell you what, my flesh loved that job. Okay? It really did. Because if we needed something, you go to the store or you go anywhere, "Oh, let's get a new TV today. How much is it? $700? That's fine. Just write a check for it." Okay, because we had that. We knew that was there. Okay, but God began early on in all these jobs. He was speaking to my heart about what's really most important in life. Okay, getting your priorities in order. Okay, and at times, some of that, I'm not saying don't get a good job. That was what God wanted us to do. I believe that at that time, because we were the sole main supporters of a ministry that was planting churches, and we would go with them and get good jobs and supply and help that church plant and do those kind of things along the way. Okay, and I believe that that's what God was using that for, but I began to learn that money isn't everything. Okay, and God began to show me that money isn't the greatest thing of value in my life. Okay, my family and my ministry are of a much greater importance than money. Okay, in God's eyes. My family needed more than the three nights a week that I got to spend with them because I was on the road. UPS was travel this and do this, and you're at the whim of that company. And so wherever they wanted you to go, and if I needed to be in Laramie, I had two centers, and so running that one, I spent, maybe three or four nights a week, and even then I'd get home at 6, 7 o'clock at night, and you gotta be in bed by 9 or 10 because you gotta be back at the office at 7 in the morning. So what else suffered during that time was the ministry. Okay, you guys maybe not even know it. Okay, a little self-confession. But I knew in my heart that the ministry, that you guys deserve more than those few hours a week I could get to put into the sermons or to get to put into your lives and be able to touch base with people and do some of the things that we're able to do now. Okay. Now, we live on a fraction of what we've ever lived on. Okay? We literally have no guaranteed income. Nothing. Not $1 is guaranteed income at this point. By faith, I know that I am where I'm supposed to be. And by faith, I know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And by faith, I'm trusting God. And by faith, He is providing and making ends meet and making things happen. And not having, some days we go without, we just don't have a lot. But other days, we're tremendously blessed. And so I know it's not a matter of, you know, where you're at. The Apostle Paul said, I've learned to be abased and to abound. And I understand Paul lived by faith. Because I understand that now more than ever in my life. I like to abound as well, but I also have learned how to live either way, wherever it's at, whatever God's got going on. Okay? And I believe that you know some things in your heart this morning. Some of the things, even while I'm speaking, that maybe God has spoken to you about things in your life. God has given you some direction. Okay? God has laid something on your heart. He's given you some vision for you or for your family or both. Something in His Word has been kind of jumping off the page every time you see it or hear it. By faith, you're going to be able to step out and move in that direction. By faith, you're going to trust that, you know what? I don't have it all figured out, but God does. And God has spoken to me saying, this is what He wants me to do. What God says goes. Some of these things may not come to fruition or come to pass without some challenges. You know, you might not know how to build an ark, right? And if God is telling you to do something you've never done before, that's okay. You may not know exactly where you're going or how it's all going to come to pass, but what God has laid upon your heart, you have to know, even if it seems far-fetched, even if it's like taking your son Isaac up on the hill and something that was so absurd in his mind. If you've heard from God, you can still go forward with faith, knowing that God has a plan. Okay, in the natural, it doesn't look like it'll ever come to pass. But when you walk by faith and not by sight, what you envision in your heart, what you see in the spirit, is going to begin to materialize in the natural world. Okay. The expression, Andrew Womack, again, I saw it earlier this week. He said, if you can dream it, it can be done in God. Okay, it's something that God has begun to lay in your heart. He said, God knows how to accomplish these things. Of course, he's a great one to tell testimony of the multi-millions and millions of dollars they put into that facility. And he said he started in a little shack and, you know, he didn't know how to do any of that stuff, but God did. And God knew the people, and God put the people in place, and God brought in the funding, and God did this, and God did that. And he knew, and all he knew, was that God said, do this. Okay, and he just began to keep going forward with that. So this morning, I just want to encourage you in what it is that God has put in your heart. If there's little dream things, if there's vision, if it's big dream things, whatever it is, know that God knows the plan. He knows how to put the things in order to make it happen and to bring it out so that, again, He gets the glory. Okay? God gets the glory for it. Just reach out to Him by faith and trust in Him. Hallelujah. Father God, we praise You this morning. I thank You that, Father, You have put these things in our heart, Lord. You know the direction, Lord, in every area of our life, Lord, from our relationships and our jobs and our financial areas and our health. And Father, You know the future and You know that You want to bring glory. You will bring glory to Your name. Father, I pray that for each person in here that we hear You, that we hear Your Word, that we get that revelation, understanding, that knowledge from You that says, this is what I want next for You. And that, Father, that we will then walk by faith, stepping out, believing in that You are going to take it from there. You laid it upon our heart. You gave it to us. You spoke it to us. And now we go forward believing that what You say goes. And that's all we need to know, Father. We trust You. We thank You and praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen and amen.